Noon meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Kim and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speakers, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and to help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. So this is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend, but we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA or new to the Beacon Group, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and have had a spiritual experience and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. So let me do all of this since I'm multitasking today. And here is all of your meeting info. Where are we here? Our speaker will show for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. We will not be splitting out into breakout rooms today at the request of our speaker, Amanda. So we're all going to stay in the meeting after the speaker. And I have asked Becky to read the 12 steps.
Okay, there we go. I'm Becky. I'm an alcoholic. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be a service.
Thank you so much, Becky. So today we will hear a talk on step three, and that is made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Please give a warm welcome to Amanda B. from Montgomery, Alabama.
Hey, family. My name's Amanda Brown. I'm a grateful alcoholic. How y'all doing? Thank y'all so much for having me be in your meeting today. I want to thank Sunny for asking me to speak today. I love, I love doing workshops, step studies, traditions and relationship studies. I absolutely love that. I love sharing my story. I love sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And it's always an honor. I consider it an honor and a privilege whenever the God of my experience lays my name on somebody's heart to share. So thank you for allowing me to share with all of you today. My sobriety, I said I'm Amanda Brown. I'm a grateful alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 19th, 1991. I'm very grateful that I just celebrated 32 years of continuous sobriety. I have a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor. I work with other alcoholics. My home group here in Montgomery, Alabama is the Legacies Group, where right now we're doing some in-person meetings, some hybrid meetings, and some Zoom meetings. I am really grateful for Zoom. I'm just really so thankful. I'm thankful for Kim and whoever's doing the techie stuff behind the scene. I appreciate you because I cannot do it. And I thank you so much for all of you who actually have your faces on the screen. It's really weird talking to little black squares and no faces. So thank you so much for sharing your face with me. So what I've been asked to share about today is my experience with step three. Now, I will tell you, I came into these rooms. I realized, thanks to good sponsorship, that I was powerless over alcohol, that alcohol was making my life unmanageable. There was all kind of reasons for that. And then we went into step two, where I was able to work through my anger at God because I came in very angry at God. We did some exercises and she taught me some things to start a path to where I was willing to even think about a concept of a higher power, okay? So by the time I got to step three, I was praying to something, right? She had these prayers she wanted me to pray and I was praying them and I knew that there was something bigger out there, right? And I will tell you, for a lot of my sobriety, my higher power was out there in the Milky Way, right? Somewhere in step 11, that power got brought down. But today we're talking about step three. And so my first experience with step three, you know, everybody's talking about the three frogs on a log. I hate that analogy. I hate it. I don't say it. I don't use it. I could not understand that, right? That all we're doing is making a decision, right? Years ago, I heard a speaker, Ralph W. in California. He came and did a book study that I was hosting. And he has an explanation for step three that I absolutely fell in love with. He said, look, in step one, you realize you're powerless over alcohol. Your life is a mess. It's all unmanageable. And step two, you get to create a concept that you can work with and that you can believe in. And he said, in step three, you're making a deal. You're making a deal with God. You're saying, okay, God, you got me sober. I'm willing to do this deal. I'm going to say this prayer, and I'm making a deal with you that I'm going to continue to work these steps 4 through 12. And when I get done at step 12, I'm going to tell others how you saved me through this spiritual program of action as outlined in our basic text, Alcoholics Anonymous. Now that I could get behind, right? The first time I ever did the third step, we were in that clubhouse, kneeling down on that nasty carpet. Me and my sponsor are holding hands across that rickety chair, and we said that prayer together, right? And for a lot of my sobriety, that was it. Thought that was it. I found myself, I would save that prayer for only the big stuff, right? Like I would say the serenity prayer and, you know, my little six and seven step prayer, whatever. But I only saved that third step prayer for the really big stuff. Years ago, I had a different experience with the third step. And what I came to realize is that I believe it's one of our most underused tools in our spiritual tool belt. Okay. What I have learned is I can put any person, place, thing, situation, or institution in that third step prayer. When I do that, I am surrendering it to my higher power. See, the God of my experience is a gentleman. He doesn't reach down and take anything from me. I have to surrender it, okay? So I put that person, place, thing, situation, or institution in that prayer, and I surrender it to my higher power, and then I immediately turn my thoughts to someone I can help, okay? In that third step, it talks about abandoning myself, abandoning the care of me to something greater than me. Well, I don't know about y'all, but that's a big deal, right? So if I'm struggling on step three, then I need to go back to step two. Because, and you know, it's kind of funny, in the book, it doesn't tell you till after you've already read the prayer, we need to be certain before we take this step, right? Like, oops. But that's, I am abandoning the care of me into the care of the God of my experience, into the care of my higher power. So what do I mean by that? Do I say my third step prayer for me? Yes, every single day. Every day, I surrender myself back to my higher power, right? But for a while there, I was having some real issues with my mother. Well, I put my mother in that third step prayer. God, I offer my mama to thee, to build with her and do with her as thou will. Relieve her of the bondage of self, that she may better do thy will. Take away her difficulties, that victory over them may be a witness of those that she would help of thy love, thy power, and thy way of life. May she do thy will always. Okay. When my father was dying of liver cancer, God, I offer Slim to thee, to build with him and do with him as thy will. Relieve him of the bondage of self, that he may better do thy will. Take away his difficulties, that victory over them may be a witness of those that he would help of thy love, thy power, and thy way of life. When my children were coming out of elementary school and we didn't know what middle school we were going to put them in, because where we live, it's a little iffy. Are we going to put them in public school? Are we going to put them in private school? What is that going to look like, right? Well, I will tell you, I had calluses on my knees from getting on my knees several times a day, praying that third step prayer. God, I offer my children's schooling to thee, to build with it and do with it as thy will. Relieve it of the bondage of self, that it may better do thy will, right? So when I'm surrendering whoever or whatever that is, again, surrendering it to God, immediately turn my thoughts to someone I can help. Let it go. Quit thinking about it. And when I say I use that prayer, I don't just say it once in the morning. When I was praying for my mama like that, because we were having issues and I was seriously disturbed and whoo, Lord, right? What I had to do, what I learned to do and what I do is, anytime that person, place, or thing comes back in my mind, which is my ego trying to take it back, I say the whole third step prayer all over again. Every time they cross my mind, put them back in the third step prayer. Put them back in the third step prayer. Because you see, whoever or whatever that is not in my hula hoop. It doesn't belong to me, right? Now, when my children were little, they did. But now they've grown, right? So whoever and whatever that is, I cannot control. I can't do anything with it. All I can do is surrender it. Surrender them. And then how can I be of service? Turn my attention to somebody else, right? One of my favorite examples, and look, if you're in my lineage, if you're one of mine, we have what's called evidence journals, right? So we keep up with who and what we have put in the third step prayer, and then how the God of our experience handled it, right? We've got some really great stories in our evidence journal, right? So, but one of my favorite examples is there was a woman in long-term sobriety, and she had asked me to begin sponsoring her. She wanted a new relationship with her higher power. And so we start working together, and she had this woman at work, and this woman at work was driving her nuts, right? Like, she was her nemesis, and nothing we were doing was working, right? And she was kind of new to me. We had not been working together very long. So I told her about the third step. This was a Friday. I said, here's what we're going to do. You're going to start putting this woman in the third step prayer. I told her how to do it. I said, and every time that woman comes to your mind for any reason, you put her back in the third step prayer and find a way to be of service, right? Surrender them, distract. And I said, we're going to see how long it takes for this to work. Usually doesn't take very long. I said, but you start doing that all day long and let's see what God does. Now, that was a Friday, right? Monday morning, I get a phone call and it's her. She's all excited. Hey, what is it? She said, you're never going to believe it. I said, what? She said, the woman turned in her resignation. Now, I love that story, right? Because if I will let go of it, God can take care of it. And I will tell you, in our experience, either something happens or our perspective changes within about 14 days, the longest I've ever seen something take to get resolved in some form or fashion was 21 days. So if I will continuously surrender that and let God have it, then God can do with it what he will, right? Okay. You know, in the book, right before it talks about step three, it talks about the ending of step two. He is the principal, we are his agents, he is the father, and we are his children. Again, going back to, I have to abandon myself to that power, right? And if I'm not okay with abandoning myself, then I need to go back and revisit step two. I need a bigger God. I need to look at that. Something's going on. I have a new employer, being all powerful. He provided what we needed. If we kept close to him and performed his work well, established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs, and more we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. If I'm spending energy worrying or focusing on my mama or my daddy or my job or my husband or the economy or politics, whatever that is, if I'm focusing all my energy on that, then am I really being a good servant to my higher power? Because isn't that what the book tells me, that I'm here to be of service to my fellows, right? So I need to surrender whatever that is and get it out of me. We begin to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, or hereafter, and we are reborn. And there's the step three prayer. And again, like I mentioned, he waits till after we've said it to say, we thought well before taking this step, making sure we were ready, that we could at last abandon ourselves utterly to him, right? That's a big deal. That's a big deal. We found it desirable to take this step with an understanding person. I took it with my sponsor. The wording is optional. God hears my heart. This was only a beginning, though, if honestly and humbly made, an effect with an E, sometimes a very great one, was felt at once. So I will tell you, I've learned not to keep that prayer just for the big stuff. I use it in my everyday life. There are things today that I have put in the third step prayer. There are people today that I have put in the third step prayer. Situations today that I have put in that third step prayer. And just like with every other step in our spiritual program of action, it works if I work it. Now, I really feel like I'm at the end of my little spiel. I feel like that's where my higher power wants me to stop. So I will turn the meeting back over.